This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. Wandering through the woods at night in New York Central Park is generally considered not such a good idea. Marie Wynne is a writer who goes there for a living. She's chronicled urban wildlife in books about Central Park. Her latest is called Central Park in the Dark. NPR's Margot Adler went out to the park with her on two different evenings.
Central Park at night is filled with mysteries, the world of bats and owls and moths and slugs and sleeping birds. I enter the park at twilight with Marie Wynne. She spends hours in the park almost every day. And when we first enter the park, she comes across a regular, a woman sitting in an electric cart feeding peanuts to a bunch of raccoons.
So how often does she do this?
Oh, pretty much every night.
And how many raccoons come up? That's four of them we're seeing.
I'll ask her in Russian.
Сколько ракуни?
Сколько ракуни?
Много.
Много, many.
Много ракуни.
We head to the North Woods, the wildest part of Central Park, in search of owls trudging through leaves from last fall and climbing over trees felled in a recent storm.
10 or 12 years ago, this was not a place that anybody would venture into. You know, I've been on this path, but I've never been at dusk.
Dusk is exactly the time that I love.
We meet up with Jean Dane, who has been following the Central Park screech owls, and Bruce Yolton, who has been photographing them.
We only really have half an hour of light to look at them, and when they want to lose us, they just go. So, I mean, I think we've only seen them with prey a few times. But that kind of makes it nice. There's still a mystery about it.
The screech owl trill goes sort of, but when the raccoons were around, they were up and they went,
They have seen the owls court, seen the father bring food, and eventually discovered the nest.
And then, of course, the show really began. Then you started seeing them learning to fly and falling off the trees into lower branches.
I'm a birder myself, and I'd previously seen the owls asleep in the daytime. But this night, I missed them by a few minutes. Several nights later, Wynne showed me another mystery, what she calls the Robin's Male Dormitory. It's a special linden tree in a very populated part of the park, and walkers and joggers don't even notice it. And at dusk, hundreds of male robins fly into this tree to sleep while the females and the babies are in their nests.
It's a little bit like Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. You see one or two, and then you see five, and then you see 10, and then suddenly you realize there are a lot of birds heading for that one single tree. It's this one. This is the robin boys' dormitory. That's a robin.
Oh, that's like 10, 12, 15. Oh, that's like 20 of them.
There probably are 50 birds in there by now, don't you think, Jean? Here comes a bunch.
It's amazing. I'm standing now under this linden tree, and I can see not a single bird in the tree. And I've just seen 20, 25 fly in.
The flashlight is strong enough that you can actually see one of them sleeping in there. I just saw one fly in.
And you can see them if you shine the light carefully. Wynne says there's a different sound the robins make right before they go to sleep.
There, that little tuk 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 tuk. Quack, 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 quack.
And now it's quiet.
This is it.
The moment when they're all asleep. Now it's really dark. We walk over to the Shakespeare Garden. I'm introduced to Jim Lewis, who she calls a master mother, who has put a white sheet over a park bench and placed a small battery-powered ultraviolet light on the sheet to attract moths. Several mothers, as Wynne calls the people who follow the moths at night, arrive. Lewis has temporarily captured a bright yellow tiny moth in a jar.
We've seen this one before. Yeah. It's a tortricid. One of them just flew into my mouth. Great.
Yeah, there are a lot of gnats.
Well, Margot, you're going to think we're completely mad. But one does until you see the beautiful big ones.
Yeah.
Would you believe that this little creature here that just looks like plain tan, if you magnify it, look at that. It's got a red band and these white speckles.
I tell her that for a woman of a certain age, it definitely goes against most people's assumptions to see her wandering around Central Park at night.
First of all, I think fear of darkness is part of our heritage anyhow, so you have to overcome a little bit of that. I think the park used to be much scarier than it is now. You learn to sort of use your peripheral vision and you keep an eye out, but you do that in the day too.
So what's the lure of it, I ask her?
Night is very, very beautiful. It's magical, and I think you're missing a lot if you just are interested in nature and you only come and look at things in the daytime, because a whole other world is unfolding at night that you never even knew existed.
Central Park in the dark is all those nighttime mysteries that few explore or even notice. Margot Adler, NPR News, New York.
And you can read an excerpt of Marie Wynne's book at our website, npr.org.